12 o'clock, and you're in tune to KZSU Stanford. The views or opinions expressed by the host, DJ, or the guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University or its associates. We thank you for tuning in to this KZSU 90.1 FM broadcast, and welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special.
Тут не снажно, ко землетрес, у трубе гласно вринен дивли пес, так се ради рок. И поедна кап, кап за грекър, то е луда нос. Ка саксофора шупа, ноте три, а поза у не траже дубли тон, так се ради рок. И поедна кап, кап за грекър, то е луда нос. Не ви громко свой дижу глас, та ритм као вихор носи све, тражи прави рок, само то е рок, каза играш рок, но се раде свет, на слънца зрак спржи задни тон, со новим ютром сване нови рок, пева юга сви, трамба и ми, улице и парк, певай гай ти. Тут не снажно, ко землетрес, у труби гласно вринен дивни пес, так се раде рок, и поедна кап, кад за грекър, то е луда нос. Кад саксофон разчупа ноте три, а поза у не траже дубли тон, так се раде рок, и поедна кап, кад за грекър, то е луда нос. Ви громко свой дижу глас, та ритм као вихор носи свет, тражи прави рок, само то е рок, кад заиграш рок, но се раде свет, за слънца зрак спржи задни тон, са новим ютром сване нови рок, певају га сви, трамвај и ми, улице и парк, певај га и ти.
And welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Bird, and today I'm joined by Stanford Assistant Professor in the Drama Department, Bronislav Yakovlevich. welcome to KZSU, Bronislav. How are you doing?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Serbia, which was part of the former Yugoslavia, and I was born and raised in Yugoslavia.
Uh-huh. And we're going to get into all the particulars about your background and your work here at Stanford closer to the bottom of the hour. We'd like to play as much music as we can. Yeah. That sounded a lot like some great American rhythm and blues done by Louis Prima.
Yes.
And I asked you off mic, that was from the early 60s.
Yes.
And that was done in Yugoslavia.
Yes. This is a recording by, this is actually a rare recording of a Yugoslav singer, Pavle Živojinović.
Uh-huh.
And the name of this song, of this track is Rock About Rock.
Uh-huh.
And basically it's from the early 60s, and it was the time when really of the early stages of rock and pop music in the former Yugoslavia.
Hmm.
And that was the period of the opening of the country to the West, and all of this really cultural exchanges were going on at the time.
Did he record a lot of that music, or was that rare for him?
This is actually, there was a lot of pop and rock recordings going on at the time. They usually actually translated and made their own really covers of already existing rock and pop standards. Mm-hmm. Živojinović is a fairly obscure author and singer from that time, and there is an interesting story related to this particular record, to this album that I had. Basically, I got it from a student of mine at NYU in New York. I was doing my graduate work there, and then I was teaching at the drama department, and there was this girl who was really interested in Eastern European rock and European pop and rock music.
Mm-hmm.
And she came one day to me and brought this single from the early 60s.
You mean like a 45?
45, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she said she bought it on a flea market on 6th Avenue. She was looking for Italian, early Italian rock music, and she found this and she brought it to me to translate it for her.
Interesting.
So how did it get there? Who knows?
Well, it's New York. And they got everything there.
Exactly.
But also, what was the flip side like? Was it like that, or was it something different?
Actually, there are four tracks on 45.
It's what we call an EP.
EP, and they're all... It's early rockabilly rock.
Really?
Bill Haley style.
Wow.
Kind of
Do
thing.
You still have it?
Yes, I still have it.
Wow.
Yes.
You didn't bring the rest of it, did you?
I didn't bring the rest
of it. Oh, too bad. It'd be great to listen to. Well, that'll be next time you come back.
Yes.
Is there a theme to the music you brought today?
Yes, there is a general theme, and I think the theme that I wanted to work around is the idea of emancipation and the relationship between emancipation and music, particularly rock music and emancipation. It is always seen as a kind of liberatory, actually it's often seen as a kind of liberatory gesture.
Mm-hmm.
It sees itself and
mm-hmm.
sells itself as a liberatory gesture. Definitely in the former Eastern Europe, the one cover, if you will, theme of pop and rock music especially was the idea of free expression and liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recently in Serbia and I heard this extraordinary story, one of those things that you don't hear every day, about early rock music in Soviet Union, where it was unlike in Yugoslavia, where it was promoted and it was part of the official culture. In Soviet Union, it was banned.
Mm.
And basically what they did, they had to smuggle tracks, records, whatever they could into the country. And actually they started in the 50s and early 60s a production of samizdat tracks, which they did on, that was a stroke of genius. They discovered that they could cut the records on discarded X-ray plates.
Really?
Made of plastic, yes.
Wow.
So they could use that discarded plastic plates from X-rays to actually cut their own homemade records.
Very interesting.
And
I never heard this before.
It's an amazing story. And they're called, basically, it was cheap material. They could just go to the dumpsters, dig it out, use homemade machinery to cut these records.
Mm-hmm.
And they were known as bone records. And listening to pop and rock music was referred to as listening to the bones.
Huh.
Which is, you know, on one hand, a very interesting expression. On the other hand, there is a kind of really meaningful connection between this remnants, right, discarded material and the new kind of sound that is imprinted on this essentially visual material. It's amazing to look at these records.
Sure. And they were, so they cut them around. They were square before they started.
Yes, they cut them around.
And the music they put on them, was it their original music or American rock and roll?
It was American and European rock and roll.
So they were taking it and then putting it on these. Yeah. Wow, this is very incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Transferring it over to this, yes, not just keeping the original discs.
Yes, yes.
And I guess they could hide it easier that way too, right?
They could hide it. They could be, basically, they were, you could not use them a lot. They would basically just...
they would wear out quickly.
They would wear out within 6 months or so.
Oh.
And again, it's an amazing, actually, example of this kind of vitality, of curiosity, of the attempts to get out of the bounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now they remain. I'd love to see one, right?
Sure.
I saw pictures of some of them. And it's just amazing to see this.
You should go back to New York and find that flea market that girl went to. I bet they have some there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Our guest today, assistant professor in the drama department, Bronislav Yakov Letvitz. Did I say it right?
You almost got it. It's Yakovlevich.
Yakovlevich.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, why don't we play some more music? Now, you have one that you've brought in on your stick.
Yes.
And we have it in the computer. You want to set this up? You want to talk about this a little bit before you play it?
Indeed. Actually, these first two tracks I imagined as a pair, and they are bookmarking, actually, a certain period in the history of Yugoslav rock.
Mm.
So Pavle Živojinović is an early recording. It belongs to the really early recordings of rock music in Yugoslavia. And what we are going to hear next is actually the other end of that arc of Yugoslav rock. And it is... a track by the band called Charlo Acrobata from Belgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And they were one of the leading bands of Yugoslav New Wave from the early 80s, which was for me personally a formative experience. That was actually the music and the time with which I, back at the time and right also until this moment, I deeply identify it. It's one of those things that actually shape your views on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Yugoslav New Wave in the early 80s was actually very vital, very prolific kind of movement in music. And it was also... it came right at the time of the slow deterioration of controls in Yugoslav culture, which unfortunately had a good and bad side, and it was by all means really a creative side of that kind of exploration of new freedoms in Yugoslavia in the 80s. It was very much on track with the new wave in Great Britain and the United States. It was played and very some of these bands were very well appreciated, especially in the UK. Melody Maker wrote great pieces about them. So we're going to hear No One Like Me, Niko Kao Ja, by Charlo Acrobata. It's a three-piece band, a drummer, a guitar player, and a bass player, and a really unique sound somewhere between ska and new wave.
Wow. Let's check it out here on the lunch special.
Niko, kao ja. Nikad niko kao ja. I niko, i nikad, i niko.
Okay, that was incredible. That reminded me of the almost like the Police, or I don't know. That was very fresh stuff.
Yeah.
What was the name of the band again?
The name of the band is Charlo Acrobata, and it was active for a very short period of time in the early 80s in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, and it really marked the new wave of the Yugoslav new wave in the early 80s. And actually, the band itself, which dissolved after its second record, it was the group of three very strong creative personalities. They continued making music on their own, and actually, the fate of the band itself is indicate the fate of the band members, their personal histories and biographies are very much indicative of the decay of the great and of the great new wave and alternative culture in Yugoslavia after the war started in the 1990s.
Oh, really? It really affected it?
Oh, greatly. It was basically Belgrade and Yugoslavia were very cosmopolitan, very much open, as we could see from the early 60s on to the cultural exchanges with both East and West, and having found itself in this atmosphere of war and isolation had devastated effects, particularly on the music scene.
Funny how war has a way of doing that, huh?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Turning everybody off. Yeah. But that's another subject. Yeah. What do we have up next, Branislav?
Okay, as I said, the theme of my musical choices today is emancipation,
yes,
and liberation and freedom. And I wanted to look at it in as expansive way as I could. So we have a really sharp turn here from Yugoslav New Wave to free jazz of the late 1950s in United States. So we're going to hear the track from the really landmark recording of by Ornette Coleman and his quartet from The Shape of Jazz to Come. We're going to hear The Lonely Woman, the first track on that landmark record. Thank you.
Ornette Coleman here on the Lunch Special, and here with assistant professor in the drama department, all the way from Serbia, Branislav Jakovlevic.
You're getting better and better.
Thank you. Maybe by the end of the hour, I'll get a good grade on this class.
All right.
But you mentioned, that was Ornette, and I guess you really appreciate American jazz, huh?
Very much so. Actually, my tastes in music are very eclectic. They were shaped by a few very smart music editors of pop and rock and jazz journals in the former Yugoslavia, and really smart buyers in the really who were importing this kind of music in the country.
Was it easy to get when you were growing up?
Oh, very easy. And actually, really, now that I see how much was offered all the time, I see that they made some smart choices of which kind of music, which musicians to promote, buy licenses so that they can print their stuff there. So now I'm thankful for that kind of work that these really, really great editors, and I would call them now music scholars back in the country.
Is that still going on, or did the war kind of upset that too?
It really did upset many things. It's a long story just to begin to describe what happened to music industry in the 90s. Basically, there was a really sharp fall of standards in music, in musical culture, in taste, what kind of music was promoted on the radio, television, and so on. And that all combined with a really total, I would say even physical destruction of one whole generation of musicians their listeners. And that destruction came as the result of the war itself, but also many other things that really eradicated this generation. Drugs, which became very cheap, very easily available. And many of them, actually, this 2/3 of the band that we just heard died of
drug overdoses.
Drug overdoses.
Wow.
Really, there is very. It's hard to continue that kind of musical tradition, to build on it when the musicians themselves died very young.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention it's hard to get these tracks here, and I want to thank my friend from Belgrade, Ivica Slavic, who actually sent me the track that we just heard, Niko Kaoja, the one before Ornette Coleman. He might be listening to the live stream of this.
Well, if he is, you just threw him a shout out.
All right.
What do we have up next?
Continuing with the theme of emancipation, after Ornette Coleman and this kind of what brings together Charlo Akrobata, the Yugoslav New Wave, and American free jazz, is this really rejection of narrativity, liberation from the narrative in the song, right? This on one hand through catatonic repetition of one line, Niko Kaoja, no one like me. In Ornette Coleman's case, it's the opposite. It's the proliferation of sound and really escape from any kind of formal boundaries. Even melodic improvisation is not enough for him, so he shoots out completely. And it is a really profound statement for liberation, right?
Yeah.
So from there, I wanted to take another relatively sharp term to Bob Marley, and we're going to hear the narrative form of the call for liberation and of the awareness of suffering. We're going to hear not one of these great hits. We're going to hear a relatively unknown track called Johnny Was.
Whoa. 'cause her son had been shot down in the street and died from a stray bullet. Woman hold her head and cry, explaining to her was a passerby.
Nothing's wrong when Bob's on the box. Very nice pick, Branislav. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Bob Marley. And he's known to this day as, you know, one of the great liberators, one of the guys who took music and helped liberate people and still does to this day.
Yes.
So that's a perfect pick for your emancipation show here today.
Indeed, indeed. What I like about this track is that basically it is a, on one hand, what he does with his voice and with his attitude in singing, basically he reenacts the scene that he had witnessed, presumably on the street. And it is a perfect, actually, if you want, counterpart to a famous text that we, you know, that is taught to students of drama in American colleges, Bertolt Brecht's Street Scene, in which actually the act of reporting is at the same time the act of criticizing the existing conditions in which the actors or audience and actors live. So
I got a feeling they do that in drama too, right?
They do, exactly. And that's I don't know, I'm almost sure that it's a perfect correspondence between the classic of of 20th century theater and the classic of 20th century reggae music.
Right? And do we think that Bob knew that at the time, or was he just kind of, you know, acting on his own?
I think it is. This is very instinctive. I'm not sure if he read Brecht or not, but that doesn't matter at all.
Right.
What he came up with is actually a very, if you will, smart way of pointing to the injustices that are taking place in our society.
And that's why Bob was called a genius, too. To this
Absolutely,
day, referred
yes.
to in, on the same caliber as Ray Charles,
yeah.
Stevie Wonder, oh, and so many more. But he definitely was a... Mm-hmm. And died way so young, too.
Oh, yes.
Terrible. He should... would. We need a guy like that right now.
Oh, yes.
What's up next, Bronislav?
The next track is the track that I couldn't simply resist. It's the... To me, it's one of the masterpieces of rock and jazz music, and actually it continues on the theme set up by Ornette Coleman track. I was trying to choose another track in a similar vein, and another of my favorite musicians is Charles Mingus. Although Mingus couldn't stand Ornette Coleman, but that's another story.
Really?
Yeah, he often had unpleasant things to say about Ornette. But nevertheless, I decided to actually go for a track in which Mingus participates in a certain way. It's Joni Mitchell's album Mingus from 1979, and to me, the piece that we're going to see actually brings improvisation to actually a completely different terrain. It is improvisation that does not deal with atonality, it deals with syncopation. We have here a great lineup of musicians. Joni Mitchell, who uses her voice as an instrument, a great bass player, Jacob Pastorius, who also died too young, and who
was
an extraordinary and by now half forgotten bass player, Wayne Shorter on soprano sax, Herbie Hancock, and I think it's enough to mention just
sure.
that.
That's an all-star lineup.
Oh, absolutely. So this is an extraordinary piece of music.
And there's a spoken word lead into this. Is this Mingus speaking?
This is Mingus speaking.
He could be swearing, is he?
No.
Okay.
And it was recorded at his home in Mexico.
Oh.
On the occasion of his birthday. So Joni Mitchell mixed. They were very good friends, so she used some of the recordings that they made there, you know, on her album.
Let's try it out.
Yeah. I never had it too hard, you know. All my life, you know, just everything I touched turned to gold. I'm not rich, but you know, I've always had some dollars in my pockets.
In the slot that's hot, I keep hearing bells all around me jingle in the lucky jackpots. They keep you tantalized, they keep you reaching for your wallet here in fool's paradise. I talked to a cat from Des Moines, he said he ran a cleaning plant. That cat was clanking with coin. Well, he must have had a genie in a lamp, cause every time I dropped a dime, I blew it. He kept ringing bells, nothing to it. He got three oranges, three lemons, three cherries, three plums. I'm losing my taste for fruit, watching the dry cleaner do it. Like Midas in a polyester suit. It's all luck, it's just luck. You get a little lucky and you make a little money. Where the cowgirls fill the room with their big balloons. The cleaner was pitching with her bears. He had dinos and two bears and lions, pink and blue there. He couldn't lose them. It's all luck, it's just luck.
powerful stuff here.
Lucky, man. God bless me.
Oh, yeah.
God bless by God.
Indeed.
I'm sorry to talk over that. That's Charles Mingus with Joni Mitchell. And from her Joni Mitchell's album, was it called Mingus? Mingus,
yes.
I'm ashamed to even say I didn't even know about that till you brought that here. I'm a fan of her music. I don't collect it. But she's great. Man, that's amazing.
It's one of the records that I own on all of the media that emerged during my lifetime, which is marked actually the past 20, 30 years by ever new and improving sound carriers, as they call them. So mm-hmm. I first had it on vinyl record, then on tape, and now on CD. And
all right. You've got it in every different format as they come along.
Yeah, I had to update it, you know, all the time. Yes.
You probably wore the vinyl out, right?
Oh yes.
All right. The guest today, Bronislav Yakovlevich.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Briefly, you're from Serbia, which is part of the old Yugoslavia.
Yes.
Now broken up since the war. You went to Belgrade University School of Drama.
Yes.
And you did your undergrad. You did your postgrad work at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Then you taught at NYU. And then you moved a little west to the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, and you taught there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been here since the fall of 2006 at Stanford, here in the drama department. Mm-hmm. And there are different areas, I guess, in the teaching in the drama department. What is your area?
My area of expertise, generally speaking, is experimental and avant-garde performance. And I specialize even more closely in the historical avant-garde, which is the avant-garde of the first half of the 20th century. And then also my area of expertise is Soviet avant-garde from the 20s and 30s. Although I write and do the research on experimental and avant-garde performance from its inception until the present.
Where did you get the want and the need to go into that field?
Now you'll be surprised. Part of it comes from music. Actually, one of my obsessions or kind of side projects or dream courses would be to do a course on the avant-garde theater based actually by following the alternative rock. So if you look at it, starting in the 70s, there was a number of bands that actually had the names of the bands drawn from the repository of avant-garde in general and
really?
Avant-garde performance.
Name
right
some,
off the top
instance.
Of my head, Cabaret Voltaire,
okay.
Alternative pop band from the 80s in England.
It's okay.
Cabaret Voltaire is the place where the first Dada performances were done in 1916 in Zurich, Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
The Art of Noise, it was more well known in Europe. The Art of Noise, a great techno music band from Switzerland itself, is named after the futurist kind of music that was done by Italian futurists. Then Per EB, the great alternative rock band from Cleveland, is named after the title of a great play by Alfred Jarry, and the list goes on and on.
Wow. That's very insightful. That's maybe one day you'll get to teach a class like that.
Well, I would hope so.
Bug them. Tell them what you want to do. They like stuff like that around here. You have a long track coming up.
Yes.
And who is this?
Well, this comes from the part of my life that I spent in Minneapolis. This is the piece by Bob Dylan from his album Hard Rain from 1976, and the track is Idiot Wind. This is one of the less known albums by Bob Dylan, less successful ones, but I find it very fascinating. That's the period that was equally, I think, important for his, I would call it, his own personal liberatory project, liberating Bob Dylan from Bob Dylan, switching from...
And now you're getting deep, Bronislav.
Yeah. You know, the famous story of him turning from acoustic folk music to electric music, and this album, which comes from Rolling Thunder tour that he did in 1976, basically he's trying, I think, to liberate that new electric Dylan from himself by actually establishing ties with a current musical scene in the mid-1970s. One thing that is often overlooked is, for example, Idiot Wind, by the way, comes from Blood of the on the Tracks, the record that he made in Minneapolis after the a hiatus in his career. He did it in the early 70s, came back there to visit his brother, and actually they assembled local musicians, and he made this famous album. One of the songs on it is Idiot Wind, which he re-recorded on Hard Rain. And actually there, the guitar player is Mick Ronson, who right before that played with David Bowie. So that those are two things that you can hardly bring together. David Bowie of the Ziggy Stardust period and Bob Dylan from his Blood on the Tracks period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you put it together, you get this really strange, awkward kind of music which we're going to hear right now. And this is really an intense, I think, attempt, yet another intense attempt on the part of Bob Dylan to actually get past, you know, an image of Bob Dylan that is created in the media. I want to mention also that this period in his career is profoundly theatrical. He used, for example, makeup that is very reminiscent of Japanese buto dancers. He did all kinds of stuff to perhaps just confuse his audiences or to actually make a statement. Anyway, Idiot Wind.
Let's check it out. She said, beware, cause some lightning might strike. I haven't known about peace and quiet now for so long. I don't even remember what it's like.
2 de la tarde, 28 minutos en Radio Recuerdo.
Su suerte merece un chance.
All right. Well, time is about up, but Bronislaw Yakovlevich has been my guest today on the lunch special. Bronislaw, that was very enjoyable, and that Dylan track was amazing.
Thank you.
You brought a great perspective to the airwaves today, and I want to thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much for having me. Getting into a place which has yards and yards of vinyl records is like entering the shrine for me.
Well,
so
you're part
great
of the,
to be there.
You're part of the drama department. You're right upstairs, so come down anytime. Feel free.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
If folks want to get a hold of you any for your work or this show or whatever, can they reach you by email?
Email, yes. You can look me up at the drama department website, and my email address is bjakov@stanford.edu.
Okay.
All right.
Want to thank you.